we'll get started. Good to have all of you here. We're thankful for you being here. We're especially thankful for our group coming from Michigan. I'm sure we've heard that before. That's been going on. It's like, who would have thought that in our plan, what God planned for our lives, that He would have worked out every detail up to this point. Isn't that amazing? That God will work up all the details. Sometimes we think that God's way off and He's hard to reach and He's late and all sorts of things. But one thing I've learned through it all is that God is absolutely amazing. And we have to give the glory that is due Him. He deserves all the glory. And I said this early on. When it's all said and done, we have to take a step back and look at it all. The one thing we want to be able to say, to God be the glory, because truly He deserves it. If it wouldn't have been for God and our lives, His hand upon us, it would have been, I hate to even think how difficult it would have been to try to get through some of the situations that we were faced with. But what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to take us through a journey. This is going to help because this is going to be part of a book that's being put together. And so I'm sure most of you here, you've heard this several times, but our guests hadn't heard it all. So it's going to be recorded, and we're working on this. We're going to put it in a book format, and hopefully we'll be able to get it out to as many people as we can, because I believe that we ought to share the amazing wonders of God and how incredible He is. He's absolutely amazing. So we're going to do that. So to start this off, when the Lord called us into ministry, I was just a young man. I was in high school in 85. I graduated. And I was married in 1986. In 1987, I heard the call of the Lord to go into ministry. So everything went really fast. And if I just gauge and looking at myself, I would have never picked me. I can tell you that. Because I was not the guy that was up on the forefront or talking or whatever. That was not something that I would have done. But if you'd have been calling somebody for fishing, I would have been the candidate, because I knew that. I was fourth generation fisherman. Our people were from the native tribe, the Houma Indians. And if you're interested in that, you can look up the HoumaIndianNation.org, and you'll see a whole history about the people that lived in South Louisiana. And from both sides, actually from my mom's side, my mom and her family are from Lafitte area, and my dad and his family grew up in a place called Stryker's Woods, which was just down the Mississippi River. Now, all of these settlements, only the one in Lafitte still exists, but the Stryker's Woods and Tiger Pass and all those, that's all gone. And it was due to the storms from previous years and all, and people just wasn't able to sustain that type of living. But this area was always a unique place. I believe it's a unique place to the country. And I didn't know that. I grew up in this area, but didn't know it was unique to the country. There was a time after we had started, and I'm going to go into what God did in this ministry, and then I'll have to go back and forth. So I want you to, there's no way to get it all done in a short period of time, but this is a start. But there was a time in our ministry when the Lord began to deal with me in dreams. I'd have a dream about something. And I was not one that dreamed. I didn't dream about things. And when the Lord first gave me a dream, it was considering this building right here that we're in. So this, we'd been in and started the ministry in 1987. Was driving by this piece of property, and the Lord said, "There it is. That's it." And it was had a repossession sign from Delta Bank. Remember the local bank here? It was a local owned bank, and it had been repossessed. So I said, "Well, Lord, that's a good way to start. We'll start with a repossession. And so we're going to get started. So I knew it was it. There was no doubt about it. Other people knew it was it. And it was just something that God had been dealing with us about. And we had been in the ministry quite some time. And we was praying about building a new building. And the very first time I remember the Lord dealing with me about dreams, by way of dreams, was pertaining to this building. I had a dream and I saw just an unusual building. We'd been praying and seeking the Lord. It was just a small church, mostly made up of fishermen. And I had this dream about this building that was round. And I saw the colors in the building, everything. The Lord said, "That's it." So I shared it with our men's group one night. I said, we had we cooked duck and rabbit and just have all the guys over. Just a wild game night. So all the guys are there, and I said, "Hey, I want to share this dream with you." And our guys, they're so polite, but they always have a way to kind of look at me and say, "There goes Pastor again." You know, because I told them, I said, "Look, we could build this building ourselves." And I think I lost them when I said that. I mean, they were like, "What, are you kidding me? We're fishermen. We don't know how to build anything." And so I said, "Well, I guess what I should have done is come in here and said, 'The Lord told me we need to build a boat.'" And everybody had been on board. So, but I told them, I said, "We're going to build this building." And I said, I know exactly what we need to do. I know the colors and everything. I saw it in a dream. So, you know, to condense this down, they signed up on it, to my surprise, and we went through with it and built this building. We didn't have a clue that it was all in the plan of God for a day that's coming, a future date. And that's why it's so important in your life. You don't realize that there's encounters and there's relationships that today they may not mean that much to you, but in your future, they're very important. And this building was no doubt that. The Lord dealt with me in this dream. He said it's going to be a lighthouse. It's going to be a beacon. It's going to be a place where people will come to. We had no idea what that none of those things meant. But anyway, we pursued that. And right before we built this building, it was a Thursday evening, just like today. I had a guest speaker in. The guy that was speaking for us was Marcel Joseph. We was in that little 30 by 60 front building, the original church. And we were getting ready for the service. It was coming up that evening at 7 o'clock. And I told my wife, I said, "I'm just going to lay down for a minute. Don't let me oversleep. But I just want to relax for a minute." And it would seem to me when I lay down immediately, I was in this dream. So I get up from this dream. And I sit onside the bed, and I tell my wife, I said, "Honey, come in here quickly." I said, "I don't want to lose this. There's something about this." I said, "I seen me and you in California." I said, "I don't know why, but we have to go to California. There's people there that we don't know, but there's going to be somebody there that we do know. But most of the people, we have never met them." I said, "What do you think about that?" She said, "Well, when do you want to go?" I said, "Monday." My wife, and she took a step back and looked at me and said, "Are you kidding?" And I said, "No." I said, "Clearly seen us stepping off of a plane in LAX. I saw LAX." I said, I come out and I shared it with the guest speaker. And I said, "I don't know why we have to go, but I'm going to share this dream with you. And maybe the Lord will give you some." And I shared it with him. He said, "Well, listen, there's a camp meeting. There's a conference going on. It starts Monday." I said, "That's got to be it." And so I told my wife, I said, "Call for flights. The Lord knows And man, there was two seats available on the flight. We didn't have to pay any extra. We got on the plane, and I asked Marcel if he would to make contact with somebody to pick us up. And a church van came and got us at LAX airport. We get to the first service, and Dick Mills is ministering. I never knew who Dick Mills was, but he ministered, and he ministered with prophetic words using Bible verses. He'd give words out to people, and he ministered, and it was great. And there was a bunch of people. It was in Temecula, California, pretty, you know, from our church experience, and I'd never been anywhere. This is my first time venturing out, and I started in 87. This is happening in 2001, and so my whole ministry, this whole time, I'm always praying, God, why? I need somebody. You know, and I feel like I'm on an island. And I was literally on an island. But it really felt like, you know, I'm alienated. I'm not connected. Something's not right. And so Dick Mills ministers, and it was great. You know, it was over 1,000 people in the building, and it's incredible. And we go to our the van drops us back off at the hotel, and they asked us if we was wanting to go and sightsee. And all. I said no. I said, I'd never been to the Pacific Ocean, and I wasn't interested in seeing it. I was there for a mission. In that dream, it was very specific. God said, I'm sending you there for a purpose and a reason. So the first night, we're ready. We're like a sponge. We're ready to absorb anything and everything that's available. And it's like, when is it going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, when Dick Mills finishes ministering the first night, he calls all sorts of people out. He didn't speak to me in Charlotte. Service ends, and before they bring us to the hotel, the pastor of the church, he says, we have a room set up for the guest speaker and any other ministries that are here. And they said, we'd like y'all to come to the back. So we went, and we're new to this thing, and we don't even know how this stuff works. We're from the bayou. So we were just following. We said, that's all, sure, let's watch what people do, and we'll follow them, you know. And so we watch it, and we just kind of, so we're going to get in, we're getting in last. So we get in, the room's got people sitting, and there's a center table with flowers on it, and it's decorated. And I'm thinking, I know what that is. You know, I'm from the Bible, but I know what that's the head table. Pastor's going to be there, and the guest speaker. So sure enough, Dick Mills and Miss Betty, they come there, and they're going to sit them. And Dick Mills, of course, we don't know him. And he's, you know, he kind of got a little rough voice. He says, I'm ready to eat. And they said, well, Pastor, come right here. Right here is the table. Pastor's going to be here in a minute. And he says, no, I don't really want to sit there. Not feeling that tonight. And I'm just standing there. I was like, okay. He said, I like to sit over here. Like, it's in the corner. This is like a, and he said, I want this man and this lady to sit with me. Well, we looked behind us. We try, and so we, and I was like, okay. So the people that we did know that was there walked in the room, and they looked, and they said, how in the world did Pastor Jesse and his wife get with Dick Mills and his wife over there? And the pastor of the church, he's sitting at the table with all the arrangements, but it was, we just there. And so he sits there, he says, I need to give a word to you. He said, where are you from? I said, Louisiana. He said, listen to me, son. You know, he's 80 years old. He can call me son. He said, you will not leave Louisiana. You're going to go through a transformation, but you won't leave Louisiana. And then he gave us a few other words. We wrote it down. We keep that. We look at it from time to time. How many of the words that God give you, they're important? You shouldn't stow them away and say, oh, well, that was a word. I don't know. Nothing ever happened. You got to pursue God's word. You got to go after it. And so that's what we did. We pursued it with everything that's in us. We had a great evening. Everything went fine. He said, I can't stay just tonight. I have another engagement. who knows, the Lord may send me to Buras one day. That's what he told me. So he leaves. The next morning we're in service. There's another speaker. They're doing praise and worship. I'm sitting in the center. There's three sections in that church. I'm sitting second row, like where Brother Josh is. We're standing there. I'm on the edge. My wife's there. And it's packed. And I got my hands up, and I'm just thanking God for what happened the night before. I say, God, you're so amazing. Sometimes I wonder how I even get where I am. You know, I'm from the bayou. I'm from Buras, but I'm in Temecula right now. I'm just following you, Lord. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder. So I opened my eyes. It's Brother Mills. He said, I'm coming to Buras sooner than I thought. He said, I was on the interstate and whipped it around and came back just to tell you this. I'm coming to your church. So I said, all right. So we scheduled it. Let me tell you that part of the story, then I'll go back to Temecula. We scheduled the service. I picked him up on September the 10th at the New Orleans airport. He got in my expedition vehicle, and he had tears in his eyes. I remember seeing, he was sitting there, and I could see him. I said, Brother Mills, you okay? He said, son, how's your prayer life? And I explained to him what I do when I pray. I didn't tell him I get up and pray 3 hours. I said, Brother Mills, I said, what the Lord's been dealing with me is to stay in the spirit of prayer all the time. I don't go and get off for 3 hours somewhere, but I do. I stay in the spirit of prayer all the time, and I'm always, there's something going on. I'm not sure what it is, but God's been stirring me. And he said, the Lord told me there's five people that he wants me to speak into their life before I leave this planet. You're one of them. He said, and I want to tell you this. And he looked at me. He said, we're not ready for terrorism. That was the 10th of September. Everybody knows what happened on the 11th. He was sitting in my house on the 11th of September, and he pointed. He said, that's what I was trying to tell you about yesterday. He said, get me to the airport. He said, I know things are bad, but get me to the airport. I will get a flight out. I'll be home by the evening. I'm just saying God's got to be telling him something, because I got him to the airport, and he was home by that evening. He said, I got a small window. So I knew something was happening. There was God was rearranging some things in our lives, and they were very important, very strategic. So back to Temecula. The second night we're there at the service, a gentleman gets up by the name of Ivan Tate. He's ministering, preaches the whole service. To be honest with you, it was a little much than I was used to. Just being honest with you. And so, but I'm okay. I'm saying, okay, Lord, you got me here. I'm just going whatever you want. He ends the service. And we're sitting in this section about 3-4 rows back, I guess. And he gets to the edge. And he tells me something. But I'm going to let you see what he tells me. They're going to cue this up. I want you to listen to this, because all this is very important.
Woo, my gosh. Man alive. Praise God. I love it when people just lay there. Praise God. Pastor, get up. Extend your hands over there. Told you a lot of things, gave you many promises, been with you all the way. Jeremiah 1:12, I am watching over my words to perform them. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole world looking for somebody whose heart is perfect towards me. Because your heart is perfect towards me, I will build everything you want built. and I will accomplish all of your dreams. Until you cannot dream fast enough, I will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of you for the rest of your life. Dream all you want all you want. I'll do it all. I'll build it. I'll perform it. Because I'm taking you through a transformation this very day. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, you're transformed from glory to glory. Where you found yourself lacking, where you have found yourself insufficient, when you look into my glory, you will be instantly changed. Until you say, I have become a lion of the tribe of Judah. And you will devour all the souls. You're going to begin to preach like you are a man from another world. Tears will flow out of you. Your eyes will shoot fire. Your revelation levels will increase. Your prayer life will be totally transformed. And your wife will begin to move in prophetic utterances of very high levels of rhema. She'll see visions as if she's watching movies. And they'll just open up before her. And there'll be specific needs that people have. And it'll transform you. Within 7 years, everything you are now will be unrecognizable because of what the Lord will do. Ezra 7:9, I put my hand on both of your heads and command you to be blessed. Woo! I receive it for myself. Look at somebody around you and say, God, put your hand on my head. Revelation 1:17, for I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. Do not fear. For I am the one. I'm going before you. I'm going behind you. And I'm on both sides. I will remove wagging tongues, unsupportive personalities, and supply you with unlimited laborers for the harvest fields of your soul. You shall not be criticized ever again with pain. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you will ever prosper. From now on, I'm wiping them all out. Exodus 14:13, the Egyptians that have pursued you up till this day, after today, you will see them no more. Turn to two people and say, that was for me. Praise God.
Right. So, that's pretty powerful. We're standing there. Well, at the time, most of what he said didn't make any sense to me. So, I'm just trying to process it all. Trying to wrap my mind around it. I can feel it. I know God sent me there for a reason. You know, I'm just taking a nap on Thursday, and I'm sitting in Temecula, California. That's a Tuesday night. And but it's been 2 days and two different encounters with people. For God to get a message, God will get his message to you, but we have to be willing to step out in faith. Sometimes it's crazy faith. Sometimes it's completely against your comfort zone, and this is completely out of my comfort. But there's some things going to happen that we needed this word for. We needed it. So I got home. I transcribed those words and I put them on the refrigerator. And I kept going over and over and over them. Well, we had no idea that that word would be given to us 4 years before Katrina would hit. Within 7 years, you'll be unrecognizable. Anybody could agree with that? This whole peninsula has changed. The whole shape of everything. The church has changed. The grounds have changed. The people have changed. We have new faces. You understand? We had no idea, but we needed that word. Trust me, we needed that. After Katrina hit, I got back here, and I was just kicking around, and Brother Eddie helped me get up on the balcony. Staircases were ripped off. The platform that was here was turned upside down. We had a baptistry there with a 1,000-pound waterfall out of real stone going into it, and the baptistry was full. And it was completely flipped upside down, face down. And that glass pulpit was still standing. It was still standing. It was just little things. So to a lot of people, that may not mean anything, but to me, it meant everything. To me, it meant everything. So I'm kicking around up in the balcony up there, and I had chairs in the balcony, and the mud stain was right at the seat of those chairs. That's how much water was in this place. And I'm kicking around some boxes, and I'm weeping because it was an emotional time. It was more than I can take. And I'm just, and then I was like, God, how am I going to go back and explain to every family in our church that they don't have a house? You know, and I'm giving my whole spill to God. I didn't sign up for this stuff. God, what am I supposed to do? And I looked up, and it had a banner hanging right here. And it said, the mercy seat. And I just fell in the floor, in the mud. I just sat there, and I just wept and said, God, you're amazing. I don't understand it, and I'm hurt. But I know one thing. You gave me your word, and that's what I'm going to go with. I said to the Lord, I was following you when I got here. And my needs is your responsibility. And I know you've never failed me, not once. And you brought me over there for a reason. Now, I could have been doing this without a word from God, and he still would have been God. But he didn't do that. He gave me a word, so it was encouraging. So I got up from crying, and I kicked the last box, and when I did, that was the video that you just watched, a VHS tape. And I said, God, I can't tell you how thankful I am. And I went to squalling again. Because I need this. It might not mean nothing to nobody else, but to me, it means a whole lot that every now and then I get to look at it. You are faithful. And that's all I needed. So I got down out that balcony, and I went walk up that levee, and it was a wreck. Brother Eddie was there. And I said, Lord, I feel just like Jacob. I got to the spot. And he said to me, son, position is everything. You can't give up your spot for nobody and for no reason. He said, when Jacob got to the spot that I told him to go to, he took a stone and he laid it down as a pillow. And all of a sudden he had a dream. He said, and the heavens opened and a ladder was lowered down and angels was ascending and descending, the Lord himself. He said, that's what I'm doing for you right now. He said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be heir of salvation? I said, God, I'm listening to you. I'm listening. And he brought me back to that. He said, I'll send you unlimited laborers. I said it in my word. I gave my word to you. Unlimited laborers. Well, when the guy said that in Temecula, you think I was thinking I'm going to need unlimited laborers? Because, well, for what? What are we going to need them for? But when you come back and your whole town's a wreck, you need some laborers. And God started moving on people's heart. But here's the thing. When I was in Temecula, God had already put in motion the hearts and the people that he would woo their hearts and connect them was already done ahead of time. And the thing that God wants us to realize is that's what he does for all of us. Listen, this is not God just having favor on Jesse. I'm just telling you my story. But I can assure you, if you'll stop and look at your life, you have a story. You have something that you can share, something you could tell somebody that's going to give them encouragement to help them see that we serve the Most High God. He is absolutely amazing. And so I can tell you, I was encouraged to have all this to give me the strength that I needed to go on. I was very encouraged. And so living in Baton Rouge at the time and driving back and forth, it was getting difficult. But we started getting phone calls and people started calling, and and people we didn't know. And then all of a sudden you go, God, you got to take a step back. And you, when it's all said and done, it's got to be God. It's got to be God. And that's what we started to see happen. I'm going to show you a clip on what it was. And I'm going to stop it. I'll tell him to stop it, but he'll start it. I'll kind of talk us through it. And I did a voiceover on this when we were sending this out to different people were calling, wanting to know, and I'll just talk about some of it as it goes through. Let's see if they can get it queued up.
Hi, my name is Pastor Jesse Morris, Faith Temple Ministries. Back in August the 29th, Hurricane Katrina made landfall here in Burris, Louisiana. We have been operating our church, Faith Temple Ministries, here since 1987, and we took a direct hit from the storm. I'd like to share some things with you on the process we're going to take to rebuild in this area. After the storm hit, we made contact with the families of our church and found that over 30 families in our church lost their homes. After learning that, we shared with them how committed we were to not only helping them to rebuild their homes, but also to come back and rebuild the church and continue the ministry that God called us to do here in Burris. Although the devastation was more than we expected, as we begin to make trips in this area, we know that God has given us strength and the understanding to know how to start this rebuilding process. We want to say a special thanks to everyone that's helped us. We have received many phone calls, letters, emails, people just concerned about what we've went through and what we're still going through. We want to say this. We are encouraged. We have resolve. And we'll get through this. We'll get through it because of people like yourself that's shown what it really is to be in the body of Christ. You've hooked your hearts with ours. You've supported us, and we can't say how much we appreciate all the stuff that you've done. We want to ask that you continue to pray for us, to support, and we will rebuild. We'll come together, and our ladder is going to be greater than our past. What we see is just debris everywhere, things destroyed, but it won't be long. We're going to see new buildings, new property go up. So we want to say again, thank you so much for all your help and your support. And we will be contacting you, giving more information. As we begin to clean up and start the process, we'll inform you about all the steps that we're taking. And we just want to say again, thank you. God bless you. And continue praying for us here at Faith Temple Ministries.
On this beginning part, it's kind of, you'll see that part. The reason I stop it right here, when we started the rebuild, when we knew, and this was weeks. This was not right away. I didn't come back on my first visit till 4 weeks after. And I had four-wheel drive, then it took me, I had to follow the National Guard actually directed me in. There was a trail that we basically had to go and Philo, up the levee, down the levee, through water. It was from Belchase to this church took me 3 hours. That's the track. I mean, that's not a, you know, we do that trip all the time, but it was a very slow go. In my first time coming in doing the evaluation, it was tough. It was tough. I mean, we was in that levee, and we was on the edge of it, and we kept thinking, we were seeing everything else, and in your mind, you're thinking, when we get there, though, we're going to be okay. We'll be okay. And we kept driving through devastation, driving through it, and when we got here, I mean, it was just, we looked at each other, and I was like, whoa. And, of course, we had our church family scattered all over in Texas, Florida, Mississippi, northern Louisiana. It was church family scattered everywhere. So I told Shaw, I said, you know, we'll just get back and we're going to, we'll contact as many as we can, see if we can get together. And I know what the Lord's dealt with me about, what we need to do, but this is it. This is going to tell where our heart is, what God's, if he's called us to do it, I know what I got to do. And there was no doubt about it. It was many times. I can tell you, some of my best friends that I'd known for years came to me and said, listen, Jesse, their family was in the military. They worked with the state police. They did the flyover. The first flyover that was done over our church, photographs, some of you have seen the photographs, the water was still up. And it was just the top, you know, the water was way up, that line up there, and you could barely see the top of the house, just a little bit, about that much of the house sticking out. And so they said, listen, it's done. The governor was already talking about that the low end of the parish had been already captured by the sea. It's no longer going to be inhabitable. Listen, don't worry about anything, though. You've been a friend of ours. You've been a guide. I'd been in the guide business. I'd ran my business since I started pastoring. So I'd been doing it for quite some time, some 18 years. So I had a lot of contact. So they said, listen, we have already gotten together. Money has been raised. You pick a spot. We're going to buy you a brand new church, and you can just preach up here. Listen. Position's everything. You can't give up your spot for nothing, for nobody, and for no reason. That sounds appealing. That sounds really appealing. I mean, turnkey. You pick it, we'll get it. And I said, well, y'all don't understand. That wasn't in the plan. There's a plan that's been mapped out, and that's not in it. And it sounds good, and I appreciate it, and I can't tell you, I'm very thankful for the offer. But I'm going back. And this is what I was told. Jesse, why would you put the people through that? Why would you give them hope when there is no hope? They're going to look to you as a leader. Don't give them some hope that they're going to be able to fix things. It's gone. Didn't you hear what the governor said? It's gone. It's over. It's finished. And that was some hard words from my friends. But I shared with you just a few weeks ago in Job. When Job's friends come. And Job's friends said what they said. And the Lord said this. He said, Job, my wrath is kindled against your friends. He said, because they have not spoken right about me. He said, so they're going to have, he said, you get 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and you ask Job to pray, and I'll receive Job's prayer so my wrath won't be kindled against you. And what was the one thing God was so upset about? He was upset because they didn't speak right about God. How many of you know we got to speak right about God? And so the position I took was I wasn't going to say that somehow God deserted us. Somehow God was trying to clean all the filth. There were so many stories out there. It didn't make a difference why the storm come to me. The thing that I was going to go with was, God, this is where you put me. Well, you're not finished. According to you, you're 7 steps ahead of me for the rest of my life. Want all I want, dream all I want. You'll build it. I'm going with God on this. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to speak wrong about God. And so that doesn't go over very well a lot of times. But I want to encourage you. Listen, if God gives you a word, speak right about God. I don't care how difficult it gets, how the situation looks. You speak right about God, and God will come through for you. And so right here, just to the out the picture, we come over and Brother Eddie, my mom and dad, and we kind of scooted off a spot. And that's where we started. We slept in our trucks. And we said, okay, God, here we are. We got rakes and shovels. Now, did you see those pictures with rakes and shovels? Rakes and shovels and a wheelbarrow. That's what we had. I looked at that pile. My dad looked at me. He said, we ain't no. What in the world are we trying to do here? We rake up and fill the wheelbarrow and we dumped it. We rake up and we was making a pile on the road about across the street. But we got us this little spot clean right there. And we started. And it was tough. I never forget the first group they called from Cave City, Kentucky. Who in the world knows Jesse Morris from Cave City, Kentucky? Nobody knows Jesse. But let me tell you, not from Cave City, but God knew me. And God knew the person in Cave City. And so I get a phone call. We just want to come to Louisiana. We just want to help. We got a travel trailer. And we'll bring everything we need. I said, well, let me just tell y'all before y'all come. There's nothing here. When you get down, I can get you in. I went to the line and I talked to the sheriff. I said, get them in. We're going to start cleaning up. They didn't want to let anybody in. But we were pushing on them. Listen, we got to get started. We waiting for FEMA. Well, listen, I can tell you, they ain't doing too good right now. We might not want to wait on them. So why don't we just get started ourselves? So it was, the group came in and they parked that vehicle out there. And man, it was tough. They stayed 3 days. And it was about more than they can take. And they wept every day. We wept, they wept, everybody's crying. Because you get overwhelmed. You can only fill that wheelbarrow up so many times and it gets dark on you. And you just get overwhelmed. And then you look and you say, well, we didn't do anything. We didn't even get the front clean. And I said, Lord, we need a miracle. That's what we need. We need us a miracle. And I never forget, my dad was shoveling. And he told me, he said, I never thought I'd have to do this again. But he went through Betsy in 65, went through Camille in 69. And he said, I went through both of them. I ain't never seen anything like I'm seeing right now. This is unbelievable. He said, those things were like a piece of cake compared to what I'm seeing right now. And so I was trying to relate because I was just a little boy, probably 3 years old when Camille hit. So I don't remember any of that. I can remember stories. So I asked my dad, I said, how does this compare? He said, you have no idea. This is unbelievable. And he's shoveling. Now I'm never free. I pulled that wheelbarrow and I thumped it over like that and my phone rang. Hello? Is this Jesse? I said, it is. He said, well, I'm Pastor so-and-so, Pastor McKee. He said, you don't know me, but I know you because you have a friend that you took fishing a long time ago. And he just called me. He said, we got a brand new bobcat with a grappling bucket on it sitting on a trailer in our churchyard. Somebody just donated it. You need it? I said, I'm on my way. You understand what I'm saying? Now watch this. Before Katrina hit, I didn't have a truck. I didn't have a truck. I was pastoring a church here. I was running my little fishing business, and we had a van. And I said, Lord, you know, I'd like to have a truck one day. I really would. So I had a friend of mine call me. This is June. It's Katrina hit in August. He said, Jesse, he said, I've been thinking. He said, my boys ain't really into this. He said, but, you know, you've been my friend for a long time. You've taken me fishing for a long time. And I'm buying a boat. And I don't have a truck to tow that boat with, and I don't want to buy a truck. Do you want to buy a truck? And I'm kind of paused there. I said, well, I might not want to talk. Just let him finish. And I said, well, I don't understand what you mean. He said, well, listen, how's about you meet me in Baton Rouge, we go and get you a truck, and you're going to need a diesel truck. Seven steps ahead of me for the rest of my life. You think I might have needed that diesel truck to go get that Bobcat? Yes. It would have been tough pulling it with a van. Mm-hmm. You understand how God does? God was looking out for me. That man, I met him in Baton Rouge. He told a deal. He said he needs that truck right there. Brand new silver diesel truck. Get him that truck. I don't care what it takes. You get him in that truck. The guy said, well, listen, you going to put any money down? He said, I'll give you $7,000. He wrote, you understand what I'm saying? He said, no, put that on Pastor Appreciation Day. This guy don't even come to our church. He's not even a Christian. I've been working with him. But seven steps ahead of you for the rest of your life. This is God at work. So we get the Bobcat. Our second group comes in, which was Randy and the team from Michigan. It was absolutely incredible. You think we knew the team from Michigan? We didn't know them. But God was working out all these details. He was just doing his thing. And what you think we were doing? We would just get up every morning and say, it's got to be God. It's got to be God. People say, well, how's all this happening? It's got to be God. Why are y'all doing all of this? It's got to be God. So we had a chance to let people know that God is incredible. He's the Most High God. And we ought to speak right about Him. How many believe we ought to be speaking right about God? I think the church has not spoken right about God like we should. This is why the Lord has let this thing develop the way it is to get us at this time, because this message must get out so people can start speaking right about God. He's absolutely incredible. So the team come in and we met. We worked hard, man. That Bobcat came in handy. I was grabbing stuff. Man, when I got here and unloaded that thing, I took that wheelbarrow and I shoved it in the corner somewhere, and I got on that thing. They said, you mean to tell me you just jumped on that thing? Well, listen, I had experience on a Bobcat. I had a job at a shrimp dock, and my job was to drive a Bobcat. Watch out now. I'd load ice. I had a big ice bucket on, and I'd run into the ice and load ice on boats. And I was the Bobcat driver. So you think I was intimidated by a brand new Bobcat with a grappling bucket? Man, I got in that thing and I hit wide open. I said, look out. And I ran. I remember the first time I went right through the double doors of that building. And I started taking all that gook and junk. I mean, it was just a mess in there. And we got all that cleaned out. And when our team come in, they had a roof over them. And we was able to put our tents up in that building, because I was able to gut that thing out for the next team come in. See, God's seven steps ahead of you. I don't know about it. Listen, it excites me because right now where I stand, God's seven steps ahead of me for the rest of my life. I'm in front of you. I'm on behind you. And I'm on both sides. So I thank God for His goodness. So this is something that started developing that way. But let me tell you, I wouldn't even had this happen in my life. The church wouldn't even been here if it wouldn't have been for my mom and my dad saying yes to the Lord. When I was 4 months old, and a preacher comes and builds a little shotgun church. How many know what a shotgun church is? How many know what a shotgun is? You know what a shotgun is? It's kind of like one barrel. Well, a shotgun church is really narrow. Like, you know, like if there's two people standing, so there's not like a row of seats here and a row of seats there. I mean, it's narrow. So if two people do like that, one's touching one wall and the other one's touching the other wall. And that's how they built. They built these things straight with a door on each end, so when the wind would blow through, it would keep everybody, because it's so hot in South Louisiana, so they built houses like that, so it'd circulate the air right through. So they built this little shotgun church, and they start having church. Well, they listening. On the other side of the pass, folks are listening and say, you hear them people over there? Man, they're singing. They clapping their hands. Them people, something going on over there. So somebody just said, I'm going to check them out. So my dad, he gets in the pier road, going to paddle across. So he goes in there. I asked my dad, I said, hey, let me tell you, it just seems strange to you, but we're talking, you know, you're walking around. You wouldn't think that would happen. But, you know, you're going to, what's going on in here? Oh, come on in. And you take your seat, and you're just wondering, and somebody starts talking about Jesus loves you. And you can be saved? Ain't nobody said you can be saved. We didn't even know that existed. And so then my dad shared it with my mom, and she said, listen, them people crazy. You might want to stay away from them folks. We Catholic. We don't do that. But my dad was persistent, and he said, listen, there's something going on. You ought to come. Well, I'm going to go so you get off my back. I'm going to go. And I was 4 months old. And they loaded us up and brought us to that church for the first time. And it hasn't been the same since. I'm so thankful for that man come build that shotgun church. You understand? Because as much goodness as you experience right now, there's somebody paid the price behind you. Who sowed seed behind you. Somebody. So you got to go back and investigate that. You got to go back and be thankful of that. Because somebody labored hard for you to hear the gospel. And so when you're feeling a little discouraged in life and, you know, the tire's flat and the motor won't start and stuff's going on, just look back. Look back at somebody paid the price. Somebody went through it for you. Did some stuff for you. It'll be encouragement to you. And so that was the first time we heard the gospel. I grew up in it. It's all I can remember. They got on fire for God, and let me tell you, it was no turning back. They put their hand to the plow, and they didn't give up on it. There were some difficult times. I remember them telling the story. I'm talking about there was times where they didn't know where they were going to get the next meal. It wasn't easy living in the marshlands. It was difficult times, very difficult. And our family grew up shrimpers, crab fishing, trapping. And you needed all those resources to come through for you during the year so you could survive. It wasn't about building nice houses and putting money in the bank and investing and getting ready for retirement. We're talking about a whole different culture. You needed all of those things to survive. You depended on those to happen. I remember years where I remember seeing my dad go out, and it was just, weather wasn't good. But he needed to go out because things were low, and he knew it, and he had to go. But I can remember there was one Sunday when the preacher would preach, he'd get up, and, man, he would tear it up. Preacher would preach and tear it, I mean, slap. And I was a little boy, you know, and I mean, he would preach hell so hot you could feel it. You smell the smoke. And so we grew up understanding that and having a reverence for it. Yeah. And respect for God. And I see a lot of that's been lost in our society today. You know, God, there's all sorts of ways and avenues. And they didn't preach that way. They preached as one way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And man, you hear the message today and it's sort of different. The message has gotten a lot broader and there's many different ways. But I don't see it changed in the Bible. It's the same. So we got to speak right about God because his wrath is kindled. So let me tell you, my dad was struggling. It was a tough time, struggling. And he went to the preacher and he said, you know, I know that we need to respect the house of God, and we need to not work on a Sunday. But I can tell you, we ain't got no groceries. And my children are hungry. And you think it would be all right? You think God would be okay with me? I feel like in my heart I got to go out today. And the preacher said, listen, if the ox is in the ditch on the Sabbath, don't leave him die in there. You go do it if you feel it in your heart. So my dad loaded up on that boat. He come out number two slip. And he was just depending on God. God, which way? He turned that boat down Tiger Pass. And there he went. He's going down Tiger Pass. And he's like, God, and there's folks coming this way. And they said, Mr. Jesse, don't even pay for you to go that way. We done made it all. There's absolutely nothing. And he said it was like this sinking feeling for just a moment. Then it all went away. He said, that's all right. I'm going that way. He come out the end of Tiger Pass and he looked over and he said, it was like, you got to be kidding me. He said it was like shrimp just come out of the earth. And they did just like that. My dad put the net down, and it's still known today as the greatest shrimp catch from a trawl that's ever happened. Still today is the greatest one single pull. It filled from the front to the back until the whole thing came together. You couldn't put no more in it. And he dipped, and he dipped. And he dipped and he filled everything up in the boat. Filled the floor up. We got pictures. We took pictures of it. Called the community and started giving bushels away. Bushels of shrimp. Just people would show up, take bushels. Not 5 pounds. Bushels full. He just gave and gave and gave and gave and gave. And so I want to tell you, when God directs you to do something and you stick with God, there's just something about it that's amazing. But that's the kind of things we grew up seeing, experiencing those things. So that builds your faith. So when the Lord called me, a fourth generational fisherman, I was like, God, one of these days I'm going to get me one of them drags. You know, I know my day's coming. I'm going to be, I'm going to be known as Jesse Morris number two. But God says, son, it's time for you to leave your fishing boat. You're done. I'm calling you. I sat in the floor and cried the whole day. I said, God, you could have called me anything else you wanted to call me, but please don't call me no preacher. You know you're at the wrong house, Lord. I don't want to be a preacher. And let me tell you, God worked with me that day. Home, I was by myself. Let me tell you, it was so difficult. I had an extension cord running to my dad's because I didn't have power. There wasn't a drop of food in the house. I had no vehicle. And I said, God, if that's what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, and let me tell you, I didn't come from a family of preachers. I came from a family of fishermen. If I'm hearing you correctly, I'm going to make a commitment to you right now. And I raised my hands to heaven. And I said, God, I can assure you, when you return, I'll be preaching. Because I ain't never going to quit. I don't care what happens. And I knew if I didn't make that commitment that day, I'd have found every excuse in the world to bail out on God. So I just put it all on the line. You take my life, but I can tell you, if that's what you call me to do, when you return, I'll be doing that task. You can be sure. There's no getting out of this. And so my wife comes home that day and I said, honey, we in the ministry. She looked at me and she said, you have lost your mind. She said, I'm telling you, you ask her. She said, I ain't no preacher going to be. I will not happen. I said, well, I mean, I'm surrounded by every book I could find. I had children's books and all out. Whatever I could find in the house, I was reading it. I had my Bible, I was finding, and I all these little Sunday school pamphlets that the superintendent would hand out. I thought, man, I was going back through all of that stuff. I was like, if I'm going to do this, I better get smart because I'm missing some stuff here. I'm missing a lot of stuff. And I'm trying to plead my case with God. I'm like, okay, God, like this whole peninsula, you got me? I just got out of high school. I have zero training, none whatsoever. And you call me? So I'm just going to load up. But I spent a lot of days with my face in the carpet. A lot of days. And I say, God, if you're going to have to do it. And so I've seen God do some amazing stuff. That's why the church is called Faith Temple. We didn't get a church that was already started. It was just a piece of property, and here we go. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You never know what God wants to do with you where you are. You never know the impact that God wants to use you to do. Sometimes you surround yourself by a lot of people who are doing a lot of great things, and you get lost in their greatness. But you never take away from who you are and what God wants to do through you to impact people that you directly affect. Always be available and let God do that. It doesn't matter if you've preached to thousands. It really doesn't. As long as you're doing what God asks you to do, it may just be one person. But that's your impact. That's what God has called you to do. So be effective in that area and always say yes to the Lord. Because on the other side of yes is where the blessings start. On the other side of yes. And let me tell you, it changed. My first blessing came in $439. A truck. Can you just try to wrap your mind around a $439 truck? Somebody try to wrap your mind around that. If I'd have gave you one ride in it, you'd have never forgot it for the rest of your life. I'd be going down the road, hit a bump, shift lanes. Those tire rods were so loose. My wife said, "You're going to kill us. I can just see it now. We're going to die on the way back from church." I said, "It'll be all right." It didn't last long. I didn't have to stay in that long, but it was a step. It was a step. And I was taking that step. I was in my suit, come to preach on Sunday in that truck. No tailgate. I got stopped by the cops. They said, you get out and the cop's behind you, and you get out in your suit, and he looks at your suit, looks at the truck, and he says, "Son, get back in the car." Just get back in the car. It was, you know, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, you know. But it was a journey.
Yeah.
And, We went from step to step. And I remember we was here. We had one vehicle. And we was trying to grow a church. People would pass by. They said, "Man, that church ain't doing so well." They walk in. We have 40 people with one car. That car was worn out. It just was like a bus. You just pick everybody up. So when people pass, they said, "They're not doing good there. They started about 4 months ago. They're not doing good," because we only had one car. Nobody thought we was having. They said, "Man, one car on church." Then we got another one, two. Oh, they're picking it up now. So one service, I said, "You know what? I'm so tired of the devil." What happened? People got their mind set wrong.
That's it.
They come and gave their heart to God, but they didn't get their mind right. And I said, "You know what? Listen, there's no reason for us to be this away. I know that's where we come from, but God, we're moving in a different direction now." I said, "Everybody needs a vehicle come forward. We're going to trust God, and that your faith will increase, and you'll start getting your mind right and quit wasting your money." It didn't take long. Within 3 months, we had 9 brand new vehicles bought, and people was able to pay their notes and change their mindset, and it's never been the same since. You see what I'm saying? Because the enemy, see, you can go to church and you get your heart right with God, but then the enemy will start coming against you and things will, you'll be attacked, and we don't want that. Amen? So these are just some of the things that we've seen. So this was part of that journey, part of this getting there, But it all started because somebody went and said, listen, we want to give our heart to the Lord. So we'll play a little bit more of it and let you see it.
It was our fellowship hall. We used this for our youth center, the school. This was actually our first building. When we bought the facility back in 1987, we've been here over 18 years pastoring, and we used this building for our worship center until we built the new facility, which is behind it. We just want to show you some of the things we'll have to do. Of course, this building here, we'll probably have to tear it down. We need to work on it and try to get started with this.
In this building, that was the original. We just got finished redoing that building. We had renovated it because we had moved in the back, and we had our Christian school going on there. We had, I'm not sure how many students we had, but we had a handful of students. That's why they had the, we were doing paces, so they had their own bin. And we just got finished this whole kitchen area. We had a nursery on that side. It was connected, actually connected. You can go in one building to the other. We had this whole kitchen area donated. We was doing a koinonia, and it'll show that in a little while, and I'll stop and talk about koinonia and what went on with putting that together and explain that. But I just wanted to, this was completely redone, and we were ready for the pastors to come in to spend some time with them, feed them, take them fishing, and all the supplies were in there. But you can see... the water was way into the rafters, and it just everything, once it went out, it flooded. But if you notice in here, there's church chairs. All these church chairs came from this building. So the chairs were set up, balcony was there, the stage was here. And when that water came through this panel, it busted this one and this one out, busted through. It literally just was a river going through here. Took the front, had a single door, going into a double door. It just ripped it completely off the hinges and just started pushing chairs in that building. It was so much that went through. It went through that building, took the two front doors off that building, and put church chairs up to a quarter mile away from here. We found them in fields and in trees. So that just kind of gives you an idea that there was some serious current flowing through here. All the white tables, the round tables, white tables we had for school, we collected chairs and tables, all of them. We went and collect them. I mean, we said, because we knew we used those tables and chairs for a long time. They were rusty. We knew we were going to feed a lot of people. We didn't say, well, just don't worry about it. But listen, we knew there was no money to get any. The insurance company, that was an absolute joke. And you know the story about FEMA, so I don't have to tell you that one. So everything that was done because people come together and saw the vision and went forward, and the people that God moved on their hearts lived in different towns, different states, went to different churches. They were moved in their heart, and they all came. It was absolutely amazing. I remember when I met Brother Brian for the first time, he was down here working with a cleanup crew, and I don't know if somebody told him or whatever that we was doing. And Brother Brian, if you knew Brother Brian, he would, you know, if it was a church around or a Bible study, you know, he was going to it. He was going to go check it out. So, man, he come for the first time, and it was just like God. It was all in the work of God, all in the plan of God. God was working all those things out for a very specific reason, and still today, his family's here, Sister Randy, Sister Marlena, all the folks that were from Michigan. Lord laid it in their hearts to move here. Some of them got married. Some of them had a bunch of kids. I mean, it just, whew. I mean, this is what happens. You come hang out in this peninsula, something's going to get on you. How many okay with that? Amen? So play a little more. When you get to the Koinonia stuff, I'll talk about that a little bit. We never cooked a single meal on that brand new. Never was cooked on. It was
over here is our new sanctuary. We've been in this just about 3 years. We added it on to the other building and we made this our main sanctuary. We have a lot of work to be done in here. It was completely finished. You can see up in here, this was our main entrance into the worship center. Of course, we have to come in here and redo this. The thing that's important that, you know, we want people to understand, our people want to come back, and we're going to rebuild this thing and continue to do what God wants us to do here in the sanctuary. There's a lot to be done, but I'm committed to getting back in here and fixing this building up. Back to what God called us to do here.
All right. This is the Koinonia before Katrina hit. Koinonia was another addition to God preparing us. I had told you earlier, the Lord began to deal with me in dreams. And I wouldn't have a lot of dreams, but when I did, I knew it was very important. I'd write it down and I'd look at it carefully. I'd share it with people. One of the things that the Lord dealt with me about was to start a ministry called Koinonia, which is the fellowship. It's a fellowship that Jesus has with the Father with the Son, and us having the same fellowship, the same Koinonia. No different one. It's the same. And so I said, that's what we'll do. And so I had this dream, and I shared it with the folks of the church, and I saw a map, and I saw the United States. And from Buras, from the mouth of the Mississippi River, I saw some arrows coming straight up, and it was branching out. One went straight up, and the one that went straight up, it went right into Michigan. How many remember seeing that? Because I have a dream. Every time I shared a dream, we didn't just share the dream. We put it in front of people. We made the bulletin, put it on the platform, to the colors of the curtains, the chairs, everything was in that building before the storm. Every color I seen, we put it in there, just like God said to do it. We didn't change anything. And a lot of, you know, it may seem strange to you, but listen, he was very, very precise on what he told Moses to do. He said, this is what you do. You don't change and you do it all. He counted everything out, told him, and I was just sticking with what God said because I didn't want to interfere with it. I didn't want to change it. So when it came time to do the colors, we didn't have no meeting. There was no color committee. Maybe this will help you.
That's it.
We didn't have a building committee. And it wasn't me running the show. I said, listen, let me show you what God said. This is it. I gave a copy. He said, we're going to do it this way. There was nobody objected. Nobody got their feelings hurt. I don't like that color. If you don't like that color, you got to deal with God. Because that's his color. I don't know what they all mean, but I know one thing. That's what we're going to do. We're going to follow God. So we did that, and it went right. Everything went great. But let me tell you, it was a reason because we didn't want to get out of step with God. Because something was coming that we needed to be in step with God. We needed to be right in position when this stuff happened so we wouldn't be out of sync with God. So Koinonia, I put that up. I started inviting pastors from all over. And this particular event right here, I had 50 pastors in from all over the country. I didn't know these pastors. I said, if I knew one pastor, I said, you got a friend? Yeah, I got a friend. What if he's got a friend? Yeah, he's got a friend. Well, tell him to call his neighboring pastor, the pastor down the street. Go to the next church, knock on his door, ask him if he needs a break. Bring him down and we're gonna love on him and spend some time with him and speak into their lives. We're going to give them some good gumbo and some potato salad. and some fried fish and some fried shrimp and some oysters. We're going to smear all that on them and get them all worked up and smelling good. Then we're going to take them fishing. You understand what I'm saying? And how much does that cost? That's some of the first questions I got asked. I said, well, why does it have to cost? Why does fellowship have to cost you? We got too many fellowships that cost people. Why should fellowship cost anything? That was different. I said, it's not an organization, you don't sign up for it. You don't become a member. There's no annual fees. I love you. And we're going to spend time and seek the Lord, and we're going to get our minds right and do what God wants us to do. We had no idea what was coming. When Katrina hit, I got a call from one of the pastors that had been to this Cornelia. Several times he had been. He said, Pastor Justin, I had a dream last night. I said, you did? I was in Baton Rouge at a red light on Corsi on the phone with him. I'll never forget it. I'm at Corsi and I'm like, what was the dream? He said, you remember that map you had on your platform? I said, yeah. He said, I was in this dream in this house, and in my dream I see this hand just come into the scene. And I said, what did it do? He said, that hand just grabbed that map and those arrows and just turned them upside down. He said, there's folks coming from Michigan. That arrow was in Michigan. They're coming. And everywhere else, they're coming. He said, I'm telling you what you did. This is the same guy that when he went home, he took his resignation letter and he threw it in the trash can. And he said, I'm refreshed. Just over Cornelia. Didn't cost him anything. This is what we should be doing, by the way. This is what we should be doing. This is the heart of God. And so, you think folks came from Michigan? Well, you think I knew that folks were coming from Michigan when I put an arrow straight from the mouth of the river into the... I didn't know. Right into central Michigan. The arrow, there it is. I had no idea. I just had a dream. But God turned the arrows, and they're coming. And that's exactly what happened. It's absolutely incredible. How many think this story ought to be told other places? It'll encourage each other, because there's so many people need to be encouraged in the body of Christ. Because I think for a long time, there's been a gradual change in direction, a shift, as it were, a drifting off. I learned this in captain school over 25 years ago. That a little, 1 degree off over a long period of time, you don't even get to your designation. You don't get there. You think you're going there, and the whole time you're traveling, you think you're going to arrive, and you never get there. And these words keep ringing. And we said, well, Lord, haven't I done this in your name, and haven't I done that in your name? And he said, well, I don't even know you. I don't want to hear those words. So what do you have to do? We have to check our message. Paul came back and he checked his message to make sure that what he had been saying was lining up with the scripture. We got to check our message from time to time. What do we have to do? We got to make sure, remember in captain school, the captains that are here, you remember this. You remember set and drift? Set and drift? What do you got to do? You got to make sure you make up for that. The set and drift, if you don't make up for it, you're going to get way off. You got to keep putting yourself back on course. And that's why the Word of God is so important. We go back to the Word and He puts us back on course. We get with other people and we get put back on course. Listen, I need you. I'm so glad that God has given me an opportunity to meet you. You know, I'm a better person and my life is going to be so much more to not only myself and my family, but to other people, because I had an opportunity just to spend this afternoon with you. I thank God for you. And I won't ever forget this. I'm going to always remember this setting, and I'll be able to say, God, thank you so much that you worked out every detail and you put all these people in my life that I could spend an afternoon with them. It's absolutely incredible. I remember the first time the Lord brought the Amish and put them involved. Because, you know, we had high school kids and college kids. And you know what you do with them. You know, they got so much energy and anger and all sorts of things. What do? You give them a crowbar, a sledgehammer, and you say, tear that house down. Son, they'll rip it to pieces. Then you give them a square, a saw, and you say, build it. They go, huh? What? So we need, all right, so we got to that point. Okay, Lord, we done tore it all up. Who's going to build it? Unlimited laborers, you said. And the Amish started coming. Busload, a busload after busload. Well, they hit the ground. And man, we're looking at them going. And so you give them material. It's all they need. Put material there. So it took us a while to catch on. When they mean material, they mean material. You know, we give them 4 2x4s and a balcony there. They go, what is that? What you want us to do with that? No, they want material. A tractor, they want a load, a tractor trailer load. Put it down. We'll show you how to put a house together. And then can they flat put houses up? Whoa. So you just, when that happens, what do? You take about 4 steps back and just let them roll. And that's what you do because it's completely a different element. And did God send those people by the thousands? He did. He sent them. He sent them. We built 23 brand new houses from the ground up. We renovated 80-something renovations. And we tore down, I don't even know how many. They called us the Midnight Bandits. FEMA was so mad at me. They would come and have meetings with me and say, Pastor, you can't keep doing this. I said, like, doing what? Helping? I said, I'll tell you what. Let's get the news over here and you tell that story. You say that. I won't say anything. You tell them that we can't help. You think we ever had any news over here? No, they'd get back in there a little with their orange vest on and they'd go back up the road because we wasn't getting any funds from nobody. We were doing it with church folks who loved the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, and they loved each other. Koinonia. And there was no big I's and little U's. If you showed up on the property, we didn't have the king's seat for you. You find a spot. They got bunkhouse there. We got a bunkhouse there. Got some bathrooms there. You understand? Listen, and this was a touch and go. It was 1 year and a few weeks before we had the first flushing toilet in this area. It was like a celebration. That plumber ate first. I mean, we said, all right, everybody, y'all stand back. The plumber's eating tonight. He gets the first bowl of gumbo. It was the closest we came to worshiping somebody other than God. I mean, you just don't know how much you appreciate that. Think about it. Think about it. In your town, nobody has a flushing toilet for over a year. Think about what changes. You don't realize how important that is, but it was important to us. I was like, man, do it again. Whoa. Hit it again. I mean, I think some people just went in at night and nobody was looking and, you know, it was that incredible. But we thank God for it. Now, I think those guys were from Oregon. Think about it. The whole country. From the west, the east, the north, and the south, they came to a little town called Burris. And before they came, God said in 2001, I'm going to send them. I know you don't know why I'm going to send them. If God would have said everything, you got a greater chance of getting yourself out of position if he tells you what's coming and it don't suit you. You think Katrina suited us? No. But God knew better. And you know what? We never accused God wrongly, not one day. And I told the Amish this. In the last meeting I had with them, they was all sitting there. And I said this to them. I said, if I had a choice that God would roll back and say, I won't give you Katrina, but you miss all this, I'd take Katrina over and over and over again before I want to give up what God has established in his kingdom, what I'm seeing. This is kingdom stuff. And that's what's so incredible about God. Isn't he good? And so there's so much more, but time is not going to permit us to do it all tonight. But we'll continue. So does anybody have any questions? I can answer a few questions, but we got to get our friends that have come. We're going to get them some supper tonight, and I'm sure they're feeling it. Hopefully we didn't take you too long in this, but just wanted to share some of it with you. Anybody? All right. Well, we'll stop it here. It's a good part. What you got? How? With the button. Oh, well, let me tell you. Now, before that, early on, we showed people that you can take a bath, clean up, brush your teeth, and get it all done with a single bottle of water. And you know, we don't realize because we get in a different habit, different thinking. And you know, we think we got to have all this stuff. You got a single bottle of water. And so what we did, we couldn't get porta toilets because nobody could pump them. I mean, the whole pumping thing was destroyed. So finally, we got some. And I think we had those on hand when the Michigan team came. First groups we didn't have, and we didn't even have that. You just run out in the woods back there. And so we had these porta toilets, and they would go for a while. Now, we didn't like, you know, they wasn't going to go, oh, no problem, we'll come pump them every 2 days. No, try. Hopefully, you got it pumped once a month. Try to wrap that around your head. Whew. So we got a generator, and we'd run this generator and had a little freezer. And I said, you know, maybe if we get popsicles, it'll help people with their sickness, the nausea, give them some. So we got this freezer, and we run that generator and get that freezer, I mean rolling. Put these popsicles in there and got them froze real good. If you don't lift the lid, you can go good, you know, it lasts a while. So folks are getting sick, and I said, well, we'll give them popsicles. And they lay it in here. This was the sick bay on this side. We'd open that door, let some breeze kind of blow through, and we had it Tyvek'd off, and this was the sick bay. And they would be laid in mats in here and just moaning and just sick and throwing up. And so they'd eat these popsicles. Well, you eat a popsicle, then you run to the porta toilet. Because that's what, you know, you was going anyway. But one guy come back out, and he said, man, he said, I know God is with us. I seen a rainbow. I said, you seen a rainbow? I looked outside. I said, there ain't no rainbow. He said, brother, I opened that porta toilet. He said, I looked down in there. He said, I seen all them colors of popsicles. He said, I know God's promised me he's going to heal me. So we've had, I'm going to tell you, there's some stories. We've had people come, get back to California, open their bag, and a snake come out in their house. I mean, we was here with open doors. I mean, that's just the way it was. I said, what'd you do? And God said, what I did? He said, I ran. He said, I just took off. He said, my wife's yelling at me, but it made it all the way back. I mean, to California. So it was just stories, and we've met a lot of people, and we've been so blessed. And still today, all these years after Katrina, we've been blessed to have our group from Michigan. So, you know, this is more than houses being built and stuff, sheetrock and mud and paint. It's more than that. It's about a relationship. God's getting us together for a reason. And he wants us to have a voice, of one voice that says that he's the Most High God. And there's nothing like him. He is absolutely incredible. And we can come together and share and be encouraged. And that's what we do. We receive that. So every relationship God gives us, it's absolutely incredible. And I thank God for it. So Flushing was pretty tough, little man. It was. All right? Anything else? All right, well, thank you all so much. We love you. Thank God for you. Let's remember Sunday service. And we're going to continue in the series there. We're going to be actually going to be revisiting some of these things.